Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. There's a lot going on, and I've got Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero co-hosting me with me today, and we're going to be asking live questions from the audience. We've also got so many things happening right now. I really wanted to cover, he just gave a great presentation on the clade virus, and we'll talk about that and some of the things that are happening on the planet. I also want to cover what's happening with the SOHO observatories. They're all being shut down and taken offline and you know, definitely controlling the narrative there. So we can cover that. And there's so many different topics, and this is a really good time for people to, you know, go within and see what kind of questions they'd like to have answered tonight. It's a live show. We're here at the HESETI conference building, and luckily, everything will hold up. So, you know, if you want to do a little prayer to clear out any AI and grays out of the network, it would be great, because we've had four lines go down here and two phone lines all at once. Amazing that, even the hotspot. So trying to get these shows out. But luckily, these are pre-recorded, and they're all done here. A lot of the shows are pre-recorded, and we're also filming them live here, and you can watch them at the HESETI Stargate, where all the latest footage is up for people to see here at the ranch. We've got one more big conference coming up. The Skywatch is going to continue. We've got John Vivanco, and check out our new website at HESETI.org. Everything is done, redone. It's amazing. It's something for the past 10 years I've been trying to get done. And finally, it's finished, and it's done in a way that's very simple. You can navigate it, and we got all the bugs out of it, I hope. Might have a bug here or there, but there always is. But anyway, we're up and running. And also, too, check out The Uncontrolled Narrative. And you can go to our site and get the DVD if you want, or you can go to HESETI Stargate and watch it for free, because we thought it was so important to get this out. This information out. And we also have Contact Has Begun 2 that's going to be coming out really soon, and we're working on that as well, and that's going to be and we have some incredible lineup of people coming on that as well. So anyway, all these things are happening. They're happening so fast. There's so much unfolding, it's hard to keep up with it all, but hopefully we can do the best we can to answer any questions from the group. There's going to be so much to cover tonight. I want to get on with it. So first of all, I just want to welcome Clyde to the show. Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio.
Thank you, James. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here always, every year at HESETI. I never miss a year. I don't know how many years I've been coming up here. And, of course, I just want to let everybody know that while we're sitting in the guest housing and we're all talking together on the couches, there's a guy by the name of Kars Peel and myself who witnessed Bigfoot here a while ago. And every time you walk by the guest house there, we're all like jumping, wondering if Bigfoot's going to show up. So if you happen to see a bunch of guys like cocking their heads around like a bunch of idiots, it's because we're looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah, we got a casting of his prints just a couple weeks ago. So we've got castings and multiple eyewitnesses. No photographs yet. I mean, Bigfoot is the hide-and-seek champion of the world. So
that's the biggest disappointment. When I saw Bigfoot here at HESETI, I went, hey, it's Bigfoot. I went, oh, it's Bigfoot. Because I didn't get a picture. I was really, it was like a fish story. You know, you tell everybody you saw Bigfoot. They're like, oh, come on. Yeah, come on. No, really, I did. I saw, we decided it was a juvenile. And I always tell the story because I think it's worthy of telling. I got up on Sunday morning. We were getting ready to leave. I was sipping coffee, sitting in the rocking chair that was like right there, looking out through the corridor where the laundry room is. And standing there was this, what looked like a man, muscular guy, and long curly hair. I say looked like Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. And I'm thinking, what am I looking at? And then all of a sudden it looked at me. It had this flattened face. The weirdest thing, like somebody had a stocking over their head, or they had their face pressed up against the window. And I went, Bigfoot. And I went, Bigfoot. And the minute he saw me, he immediately looked at me like, how dare you interrupt me eating a plum or an apple? I don't know what I was eating there, the orchard. And then just ran off. And cars ran off after him. I couldn't get up and get after him as quickly. But he he jumped around and got over and got away, but they got a print. And but yeah, it was an amazing thing. Yeah, I mean, you don't expect Bigfoot to show up, and then when he shows up, you're like, oh, where's my camera? You didn't have the camera ready. So anyway, but yeah, it was something that I still, you know, wonder what it was, because I mean, the reason why I didn't really react as quick is it looked like there was just a man standing there. It didn't look like hairy guy standing there. And I was waiting for the tattoos, but no, some hairy guy there. And then when the face looked at me, I realized, looks like man bear pig. I was just really weird. So that's what it was. And so it's amazing. It's an amazing place to be. It really is.
Yeah, you've seen quite a few UFOs here too as well. And you brought some engineers and some, I guess, some Air Force guys here that were using, you know, Heavens Above and J-Tracker and things like that to prove that these weren't satellites or meteors.
Well, yeah, I brought in some guys from Air Force. I worked when I first came here. There were a number of people that wanted to come here, and they said, well, we're only going to come here, Clyde, if you decide that you want to do this the right way. And that's the skeptical way. And I thought, I don't want to, you know, anger James, because I've known James for a long time. I'm just going to come here. I want to be very respectful. But no, they were very respectful. And there were a lot of engineers here that used a lot of the technology that's available to try and track unknowns. And I think it was out of 9 UFOs that we tracked using the satellite tracker and Heavens Above trackers, I think out of the 9, there were only 2 that were satellites. So when you're looking up there, you don't, a lot of what you're seeing is definitely not tracked in such a way that, you know, they can tell what it is. So whatever is out there, whatever's out in the field of dreams is just amazing here. So you're getting the full Monty. You're getting it all here. And it's just an amazing experience.
Yeah, the iridium flares, which they try to dismiss, that's an iridium flare. These ships come over, they power up, they light the whole field up. And when they do that, you actually feel them. There's a pulse that hits you and you feel the energy. And then they'll make a turn or whatever. And everybody goes, oh, that's an iridium flare. And you know, you look right on J-Tracker or Heavens Above and it says, nope, no iridium flare. And, you know, satellites don't make turns. They don't respond to people on the ground.
And in fact, that was the very first thing I remember when I came here the first time. I think James and his crew already knew what iridium flares were. And so when iridium flare did happen, which is, of course, flare coming off of a spacecraft, so you'll be looking over there, you'll see something that looks like a UFO. That's not a UFO, that's an iridium flare. I'm going, oh, that's pretty cool. They're telling us that what we're looking at that may be unusual is not an extraterrestrial aircraft. And then when the extraterrestrial aircraft show up, you go, my God, that's a real extraterrestrial aircraft. So you know the difference. It's an amazing experience. And they're very, you know, they're very on the level here. And that's what I like about this place, is because, you know, you don't go off thinking that every light and blinky you see is a UFO. There's some other things that are a lot more, I think, esoteric. Things are a lot more worthy of investigating that are also natural. But so many things here that happen, you just can't quantify it with just one explanation. It's very complex. The Earth is very complex. And that's why it's very, you know, complex to talk about it.
I know also, too, we have these ships landing on the mountain and morphing into as many as 4 ships at a time and back to 1 again. And you take these to the OMSI Planetarium and James Todd, and you take them to NASA guys, and they look at it and they go, oh, you just mistook that for the space station or the shuttle or things like that.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, you know, there's, you know, at 9,000 feet, there's not a landing pad up there for NASA. You know,
no, not at all. And
there's
nothing
up there.
Well, the history of this place is something I think that people forget that. And what's amazing about being here is, remember Kenneth Arnold in 1947. I mean, everybody talks about Roswell. Everybody thinks Roswell is cool. Well, Kenneth Arnold saw 9 craft going from Mount Rainier to Mount Adams. They disappeared over Mount Adams. Where did they go? Well, you know.
In the door.
They went in the door.
Yeah.
It's now called Jimmy Church's door.
Yeah.
I give him hell for that all the time. I go, we found that door before you did, Jimmy. He says, don't worry, Clyde. He says, there's a plaque that says you saw a Bigfoot here, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So I always rib him about it, about how he calls it Jimmy's door when I knew it was here long before he did.
Yeah, we had some remote viewers come up here, John Vivanco, actually, and we did a lot of remote viewing. And those who are not familiar with remote viewing, you get no information. You get a number, a tag, and they give you this tag. And there's a special sequence you go through to identify what you're looking at. And we had a pretty good group here. And what was amazing was one of the tags they gave us was of a video of a ship flying over towards the mountain.
Mm.
And so So we all started remote viewing, and all we got was a number. And, you know, I started going, okay, it's solid. Wait a second, there's water. Wait, the water's not flowing. It's like ice. And then you go through the whole thing. Next thing you know, you got a mountain and then a doorway. And then I'm drawing a ship above the mountain. And the doorway opens up to another cave and inside the mountain. And we got some very detailed stuff. I don't want to talk about too much of it, but that mountain is very active. There's a civilization within that mountain. It's just like Shasta. And there's like an intergalactic airport, you know, on the top level of that. Now, one thing about Jimmy's Door, I think it's great that we found that cave. It opened up and everything else. But they told us that that was a decoy. That door was actually a decoy to bring everybody's attention there, because the real door is in the middle of the mountain, and the cave is somewhere else I won't tell you about right now. But they come out of the cave and out of the door, and actually Peter Slattery filmed the ships coming out of the cave, and we've got footage of these things coming out of the door, out of the cave, going straight up into space. And we also had... is it Rob Freeman, I believe, came up here, and he has his stuff. They call it the Weapons of Mass Detection. $150,000 worth of gear, heat sensing, like a thermal. They're like military-grade cameras that can pick up a fly on somebody's back in the mountain. It's unbelievable, as well as all these two different types of night vision on it. They had... open shutters, everything on this thing, and they capture anything up on that mountain. And he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are not hikers, these are not campers up there. There's no heat signature to them. You can see beings up there. If you're walking, if a camper's walking around up there, you can see his head is dark, you'll see his hands are dark, you can see the whole figure walking around. There was nothing with these lights, no heat signature whatsoever. So, evidence, he looked at it and he says, I can prove without a shadow of a doubt that these are not hikers. And they start in the middle of the mountain, which is wilderness area. You can't have any vehicle up there whatsoever. There's no roads, there's nothing up there. And they travel around. And what's weird is some of them actually do take that path, the hiking path that some hikers do. But when we get them going up the path, it's usually when there's a blizzard up there or it's really terrible weather conditions. And that's when we get the best footage, you know, of these objects up there when other people aren't up there. But we've heard it all. Everybody's saying, oh, yeah, we go up there with flashlights and things like that and their camper's headlights. And we took a 7 million candle powered light up there, shined it back to the ranch, and we couldn't even see it because it's 14 miles away.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask, it's like 14 miles away, the candle power for those lights on the mountain have to be huge, because think about it. I mean, if you know, you're not going to see headlights some 13, 14 miles away on a high mountain. It just would be impossible, especially the size and diameter of a light. So when you're looking at something that big from 13 miles away with the candle power that we're seeing there, that's some pretty high candle power. That would be like an arc welder's light, mm-hmm. about the size of what?
A bus.
Yeah, arc welders like the size of a bus. That's what you'd be seeing there on the mountain. So when somebody tells you, oh, those are hikers, I go, how can you figure that? You got to figure candle power, you got to figure size, and you got to figure movement. And so if it's moving the way it is, and it's moving fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even a bus, if it was seen 13 miles away on the mountain, it wouldn't look like it was moving that quickly. So we have a quick moving, high candle power light, or many high candle power lights out there. There's no explanation for that. No.
And, one, we get these landings, and the lights are so massive when they get these landings. And when when John Vivanco and his crew remote viewed it, it was really weird. They came back to me and they said, you know, this is really crazy. Our remote viewers are getting these cat heads, cat faces, and they couldn't figure it out. And I said, oh, those are the feline beings. I said, they've been coming for a long time. He goes, God, why don't we even remote view? Why don't we just come and ask you? But it was really funny. But it's funny. It's getting validated by a lot of other venues, both technology and the technology remote viewing and things like that, that, you know, this is a real event. This is happening globally. It's happening in other places as well. But the evidence here is just overwhelming. And whenever people say, when are we going to have contact, you know, I always go, where have you been? We've had contact even before Egyptian times, you know, so time for us to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that happened to me first time I was here, I was in the pyramid area. You used to have rooms up there, if I remember. Do you still have rooms up there to sleep?
No, there's just the pyramid
right.
itself. And
okay.
that's where people do the healing work.
Because we were under the pyramid. And I remember I slept here. And I was here August, September. No, it was August. We came usually come here the end of August. I had a dream here. And it was this blue being came to me. And it was a bright blue being. And it told me to get my health checked. So I went to the doctor and had my health checked. And I was diagnosed with kidney cancer on September the 11th. The time after I got back from eSETI. So I had a being tell me to get my health checked, and they diagnosed me with kidney cancer, and I had to go get surgery. I think that was in 2007. Mm-hmm. And then I had to get another cancer surgery in 2008. So, you know, bam, 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 I get these cancers on my kidneys, and I survive them, and it's because I got forewarned up here at eSETI. It was amazing. So contact does happen here. You just have to be open to it. And it's something that, you know, it's rarity, you know, and you have to be in tune. And it's like so many things that have happened here to me that it's because I go every year. It's like, it's kind of like you don't want to miss. It's like you don't want to miss a year because you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes nothing. Other times a lot of activity. Other times you see Bigfoot, you have a being show up in your dreams. It's just weird.
Yeah, there's so many things happening here because it is a vortex and the veils between worlds are very thin. And some days when it's really cloudy and overcast, we take photographs of all the orbs and the paranormal activity. And days when the skies are clear, we have the ships coming in on a regular basis. So it's always different here. And I always tell people the real contact is not some being showing up in a metal ship, you know, handing you some technology that's going to save the world. And that's what everybody expects to happen. But it's an inner contact. And NASA and everybody knows this. Einstein, Michio Kaku have all talked about this. They said, we're looking for ET in the wrong place. We should be looking in other dimensions. And that's really what's happening. It's a multidimensional event that's happening here. And if you're open to it and receptive to it, you can have amazing things happen while you're here and contact and things like that. And we also have photographs of the metal ships for those who want the metal ships. And we got, you know, a great one when we had the Soltec conference here. We got looked like a Coke can that was kind of wobbling back and forth with a big energy field around it, and it cruised right around the mountain. So we have, you know, giant triangle ships, cylinder ships, every color ship you can imagine, pink, blue, green. We've had just everything come up here. We've got most of it on film. I think we filmed probably less than 1% of the stuff that's flying over the mountain. Because it's a working ranch, you know, we have other things to do. But anyway, we have the footage, we have the witnesses, tens of thousands of witnesses, air traffic controllers, triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed Skunk Works guys all testified on the Art Bell Show. Rest in peace. And you know, it's here. The evidence is here. It's overwhelming. And also too, the new one we just put out. The uncontrolled narrative. If you can, definitely go to the website and watch that. And you'll see a whole list of who's who up here talking about their experiences and the context they've had and the ships that they've seen.
Another thing, too, that synchronicity happens here. We had a bit of synchronicity happen to us today. My producer, Ron Patton, we were supposed to get merchandise in from a supplier. And it didn't come today. And Ron, my producer, ordered 11 T-shirts that we wanted to sell today. And they didn't show up. Well, a guy named Dan shows up here. And he says, hey, he says, I want to tell you something. I go, what? And he says, yeah, I wanted to get your T-shirt because it has a cool logo on it. I wanted to get the logo, but they wouldn't let me just get one shirt. So I bought 12 of them. I'm going to take one and give them to you to do whatever you want to do. So we got 11 shirts anyway.
Oh, that's great.
That's the greatest thing ever. That's that doesn't. Yeah. This is what you get at eSETI. It's what you get. And also I wanted to say something too that's really awesome. My wife is here. First time she's been here, and she's just recovering from a major surgery, and I'm so grateful to have her here with me. I love you, Janine. Thank you for coming to eSETI. Thank you so much. So right. Give her a hand. She's awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of people here. It's funny. I noticed that there's a lot of times women will bring their husbands, you know, dragging and kicking and screaming to ESETI. And sometimes it's the other way around. But usually the women are first in figuring things out. You know. And, yeah. But it's funny. And they'll come here and they'll be very left brain. And I had one guy out here and he was a scientist and very scientifically oriented. And he was also his sisters actually drug him up here. And he's a scientist. He's also a school principal and a Mormon, I believe, you know. So you got all those things going. And he comes out in the field and he starts seeing the orbs. And we started filming the orbs and showing him what the orbs are all about. And he kind of blew his mind. He couldn't wrap his head around and figure where it was because it's not dust. They're in real time flying around in all the different colors and everything. And then so he looks up, and then so finally the kicker was this massive triangle ship came flying right over his head and blew his mind, you know, that blew his mind, kind of pushed him over the edge. And then as I went out, I talked to him. I said, you know, while you're sitting out here, I noticed you got a cast on your wrist. And he goes, yeah. And he said, I fractured my wrist. I broke it in a motorcycle accident. And I said, you know, they have some pretty incredible healing technologies, you know. Why don't you ask them for some help? Just do a little meditation and ask them if they'll help you with your wrist. So he did. You know, he goes, well, what the heck? I'll try it. You know, and he did. You know, and he wakes up the next morning. His wrist is totally healed.
Like, wow.
They couldn't even tell it was fractured. He went to the back to his doctor. They took x-rays and they said it looked like it never happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they took his cast off. So we have a lot of accounts like that where, and I always tell people come up, they go, oh, thank you. And I go, it's not between you and me. It's between you and the higher dimensional beings as to what happens. So if you go out there with an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, miracles happen. If you go up there with an attitude, that's probably what you're going to leave with, the same attitude. So to me, it's like we're just sharing experiences here. We're creating a platform for people to have their own experiences. But when people come up to you and say, prove it, I just say it's not between you and me. It's between you and them. And you know, this may sound very cold, but I don't care. I don't, you know, I really don't. It's their journey, you know, whether they believe it or not, that's between them and the universe. It's like, it doesn't matter to me. I've already had my own experiences. My beliefs are my beliefs and they're subject to change. When more information comes in, you know, if somebody can prove to me that this is some secret space fleet or something like that, I'm all for it, but I've never seen any of our objects morph into three or four ships and then come back to one and take off. So if they can bring something over into my field and morph it into three or four ships and then back to one again, I'll be very impressed. And if it has an American flag on it, I'll be even more impressed on that.
That's for sure. I mean, you know, there were many experiences here have been positive. I had one negative, though. I don't know if it was negative. It was a weird experience that there was actually, when the door opened on the mountain, there was a ship that landed. It was a black triangle. And when it landed, it sent out a frequency that had me plugging my ears. It was mm-hmm. It was like, remember back in the day when you listened to your TVs, you know, the old TVs used to have that high-pitched squeal.
Yeah.
And only certain people would pick up on it. I was picking up on that, but it was like 10 times loud. I didn't know what was going on. So whatever that thing was on the mountain. It had enough power to put that for that frequency. And it was hurting. It was like a dog whistle. And the dog was like me. It was like, well, what the heck? So, yeah, that was the only experience I had where I was thinking, ooh, that's not good. Yeah. But maybe it's because I was just super sensitive. But otherwise, everything has been just... Here has just been a positive experience always.
Yeah, we get a lot of ringing in the ears and a lot of we'll hear like a real low humming noise. I have that on tape of the ships coming in and things like that. And sometimes I know some people that if they've had negative abduction experiences, well, you put that sound on and they go, oh my God, you know, and it triggers a memory. And we're the first ones to tell people, like, not, you know, if we have two sayings in here, you know, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. But luckily we have the benevolent ones watching over the ranch here and taking care of business if we do have something negative come in. And we've had that happen several times where we've had some come in that weren't positive, that came with ill intent, and they were matched, their intention was matched by the benevolent ones. And you know, I've seen a pretty massive reptilian ship just turn into powder. I mean, it was coming in and it had all the wrong lights on it. And as it came in, I could feel it, and everybody's getting all excited. Oh, and I go, this isn't good. I said, I don't think this is good, because I could feel the energy on the ship, and this is not good. And all of a sudden, we saw a big blue flash of light, and then the ship just turned into powder. It's like every atom on that ship was disassembled into dust. And I went, wow. I said, if they've got that kind of technology, they're going to be my friend, And so, in the interest of national security, I really do think we should be aligning with these guys, with the benevolent ones, because, if we do have negative ones here, they're the ones that can take care of business. And so we do need to start working with the more benevolent ones.
I was having a discussion earlier about, the benevolent ones are the ones that what James is saying, they're the ones that we need to open up to, and we need to rise to the occasion so that we can have that sense of being in security. Because let's face it, we know that there are things out there that most certainly do not have our best interest at heart. As with the division of dark and light and the division of good and evil, those are things that we put as those are basically criteria we put on things we don't understand. But when we look at the ETs that are, I don't know if they're evil or malevolent, but they certainly are amoral. And a lot of them are amoral. And the amoral ones look at us as just cattle. They look at us as like ants. And they are the ones that are selling the secrets to the military. They're the ones that are bringing with them disease and plague. They're the ones that want to see population reduction. They're the ones that want to force scarcity upon us all and create famines and make it look like some natural disaster, when in reality, it's something that we can make ourselves aware of and fight against it and bring to the table dialogue that's meaningful, that builds spirituality, that doesn't diminish it, that doesn't destroy it, and that builds health and builds well-being, doesn't rob children of virtue. Trust, developing trust and having trust with one another, and faith that we can all come through even some of the most dire of things that are happening in the world. We know that we're resilient. We know that the earth is complex. Why is it that we're losing faith in ourselves and losing faith in the world itself to protect us? These are things that I often question. And you have all these technocrats that are telling you, low here, low there, this, that, this, that, this, that. And you're thinking to yourself, well, when did the technocrats start taking over and telling me how to think and how to live? And when did they take over my spirituality? And when, I was reading the other day that more people are turning to science and technocrat type stuff to actually explore the secrets of life. And while you should use both science and spirituality to gain that midpoint, I just think that if you lean one way or the other, you're cheating yourself out of experiences that could be more fulfilling in your life. And this is something that I've always thought, that, sure, science is there, and sure, spirituality is there, religion's there, all of that is there. Have a little bit of all of it, have a knowledge of all of it, and you won't be so surprised when things go in a direction that you thought, wait a minute, it's not all what I thought it would be. No, and it will be, because we live in a world of complexities. We live in a world of fractals. We live in a world of butterfly effects. We live in a world where one person's motions sets the domino for the next set of motion. And I think we all need to realize that if we're good to each other, goodness will abound. If we're bad to each other, it'll just get worse, because I talked about the law of attraction and the law of contagion. If you're attracting bad things to you, maybe you need to rethink about those things that you manifest and start thinking to yourself, I can manifest greatness. I can manifest life and life-giving opportunities. I think that's something we all need to think about.
Now, I think that kind of goes into this transhumanism and the direction they're trying to take us. And, we're a multidimensional being. We exist on a vibration continuum all the way back to the source. And at the most, the transhumanism technology can give you a glimpse into the bottom of the fourth dimension. That's about it. Why give that up? Why stay focused on that, chasing around ghosts and the demonic things and negative ETs and stuff like that. I mean, why hold your focus there? Why not go all the way to the top, expand in awareness and consciousness all the way back to the source? And that's when you really understand what's happening on this planet. But these other things are just huge distractions. And we were talking earlier about that, a little bit about how there are so many distractions out there to keep people in fear, to keep people in dependency. You know, an external savior is going to come and fix the planet and land and give us technology and clean up everything, and we don't have to do anything. And you know, max out your credit cards because you're all going to get beamed up in the harmonic convergence or something like that. I mean, you hear all these things, and you know, this guy Ashtar, this guy is going to come and fix everything. And you know, even Jesus, an external savior, and people can get upset about this. You know, I totally believe in the source. I believe the source has many beings that have come down here to this planet to help out. There's a strong extraterrestrial equation in that when you do the research. And, you know, you look at their path and how they acted and how they behaved. And that's the message they're trying to give. This is how you behave down here. And unfortunately, we have some messages in the ancient times of the bearded gods, you know, all these religions, the Greek gods, the Egyptian gods, these bearded gods, you know, where did they come from? You know, the ancient Anunnaki, you know, we have all these religions based on these bearded gods and how they behaved on the planet. Some were all loving and all forgiving, and some were jealous, wrathful tyrants and genocidal maniacs. So I think we have to evolve beyond that and kind of grow up and realize that we have a very ancient history here on Earth. These beings coming from the stars are, a lot of them are our ancestors. We have a genetic connection to them, and they're returning, and we need to stop giving away our power and just work with the ones that are empowering you, that are lifting you, healing you, having you make your own personal connection with Source. If they want to be worshipped, and if they want you to bow down, and if they want you to be worship them as some external savior, which is what everybody floods to, it's a big distraction. So we need to get away from that. And I'm seeing that over and over again. And it's upset a lot of people in both the spiritual and UFO community when you pull the carpet out from them and tell them they're a distraction, that it's up to each individual to make their own personal connection with Source and have their own contact, basically do the research.
I mean, I get an icky feeling when I go to these UFO get-togethers and I find that there are people out there that want to substitute, you know, spirituality, and they want to create aliens as external saviors and all this stuff. And I just say to myself, you know, boy, you're really going to get let down when you find out it's all about you. It's not about an external savior. It's about you. It's about what you can do. It's about how you can change things. And so, you know, putting all your faith in an alien or putting all your faith into one thing and put all your eggs in the basket is a surefire way of losing all of your eggs.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to understand that. I never have thought of a time, and I always get angry when I hear it, where people are saying, well, you know, the whole agenda of the alien thing is to basically use the alien and substitute for God. And I thought, no, that's not it. You know, the aliens are demons. No, they're not. Demons are spiritual beings. Aliens are biological beings, and they can be spiritual if they want to be. But at the moment, we're still trying to figure out the exobiological makeup of an alien or of an extraterrestrial, whether or not they're dimensional or interplanetary. And so in that process, I don't think we're thinking about whether or not they're demonic. I think we're thinking about them being at least a co-partner in this universe and trying to live our lives that we're supposed to be living, and they help us and teach us like they have in the past. Mm-hmm. Do you have a question?
Yeah, we can go into questions. I just wanted to do one more thing before we get started on the questions, but I wanted to talk a little bit about this whole concept of, you know, I tell people, if you want to see an ET, do your research into our ancient origins, ancient archaeology, and then walk in your bathroom, turn the light on, and look in the mirror. You know, so you are the ETs you've been waiting for. We are all ET genetics. We're a big mix of ET genetics. And if the ancient history goes all the way back to Australia, even before Africa, where the ships landed and added their genetics to a Denisovan man that was here earlier, and that's happened over and over again. So we're a series of colonizations where they brought their genetics both human, plant, and animal, and mixed. And so we're this big, giant cosmic mix down here, and we need to expand our awareness. And it's not, I'm not saying there isn't a God, there is a God, but it's not a little old man with a beard, with a laptop that's going to punish you if you don't do what you're told, you know. We got to get beyond those images, you know, and you know, if a guy shows up in a big flash of light in your living room and it says, high five him, hey, what's up, you know, don't get down on your knees and start crying, you know, just stand even with these guys, get out of fear, and that's when you're going to figure out what's really going on. So on that note, we've got Robert here with a question. We're going to open up the room for questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to kick it off, let everybody know we can get right here to go ahead and ask questions. The hot topic, the solar spot of observatory, Clyde, James, you know, there's a lot going on, and a lot of speculation. And I haven't heard anything. I mean, any one of the theories could be true, and, you know, or more than one. But I just kind of wanted to get what you guys are thinking, because, you know, I've noticed an increase in chemtrails dramatically in the past couple of days, and it's all since this sunspot observatory broke. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys run with
that. You want to hit it, or I'll hit it?
Well, I'll go first, because we had an amazing thing happen on our show two nights ago on Ground Zero. We had an Intel guy who said, well, he's been in touch with us before. He claims to be, and he was involved with scalar weaponry at DARPA. And he's been involved now for, well, he said going on 30 years. And he called and he said to us, he said, Clyde, what's going on at Sunspot is something very interesting. They're shutting down the observatories because they have finally done it. They have finally found a way to harness the sun and use it to create a weather war. And I said, wow, that's a lot. Do you have a name for the programs? And he says, yeah, they're called Hammer and Smack. Now, Hammer stands for something meteorological, and Smack stands for something with scalar weaponry. Come to find out, we weren't supposed to know anything about Hammer and Smack, because Hammer and Smack are basically used to fuel the HARP project, which is a project that cooks the ionosphere using high-powered megawattage. Well, he was telling me that what happened was that something, some plasma broke through the magnetic field. And that, he says, it happened on August the 26th. They cracked the magnetic field. He said there were power failures and cell phone failures and line failures and everything happening from August 26th. And it's kind of tapering off now. But even people were saying their cell phones were having problems with their compasses. The magnetic field went actually crazy. They didn't want the data to get out about what had happened, but the truth of the matter is they were using the solar energy. They were using solar axioms. In fact, they have a thing at CERN called the SATAN, which is the solar axiom telescopic antenna. And they use it to basically grab axioms for dark matter. But they managed to use HARP and SMAC for the same purposes, only they use it for weather control. And they use it to basically force multiply storms and create lightning, artificial lightning. And what he said was, he said, pay attention to what's going to happen within the next 2 days with regards to storms. He said, you're going to be seeing Florence. She's going to come in and she's going to surprise everybody. And he didn't tell us what the surprise was. But he says, pay attention to what's going on all over the globe. I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but Florence, the big surprise Florence did when she hit the coast was she stalled there. She's stuck. She's not moving. And she's going to pummel the area with rain. Did you know that there's an even bigger hurricane that's off the coast of Hong Kong right now, piling 175-mile-an-hour winds? Did you know there are also seven other storms right now that have formed in the Atlantic Ocean, with a total of 9 storms that are about to move in on areas all across the globe? In fact, there's Helene, Isaac, and several others. I just know a few names where they're heading directly for the coast of our country. So not only do we have 3 or 4 storms that have been in the areas of Hong Kong, the Philippines, and Hawaii, but now we have storms heading for the Atlantic, one after one after one after one. And they're saying that this is a weather war. It's a weather war between major countries like China and the United States. And they are using chemtrails in order to grid the areas and actually fire up the aluminum and the barium in them. And they're using them as part of an electronic grid to basically heat up the atmosphere to create these hurricanes. A lot of people don't know that Hurricane Florence, it's a strange thing. Whenever instability is low, you don't have, when instability is low in the oceans, you don't have hurricanes. But when instability goes high, hurricanes just come up. Well, guess what happened in the Atlantic? Instability was at an all-time low. Wind shear was at an all-time low. All of a sudden, somebody flips a switch. Instability goes back on the charts. Everything goes out of control. Florence turns into a Category 4. And then what happens? It all goes back to the way it was before. And that causes slack in the atmosphere. Florence stopped. And Florence will stop as long as there's a slack in the situation. In other words, it's a hurricane that wasn't supposed to be there. And it just showed up. And it's funny that it showed up around the same time they shut down these observatories, because a number of things were leaving the sun, namely plasma. And some even say they saw UFOs leaving, something strange. And that's why they shut down Sunspot. And they also shut down SOHO for a week. Sunspot is completely abandoned now. And so now we have to figure out just what kind of electromagnetic energy our governments really have at their disposal.
Yeah, no, a lot of apps don't work that used to work on your phone. A lot of people are going, what happened to my app? It's not, there's nothing there. And I've seen that happen quite a bit. And also, too, they are seeing these disks going by the sun and then coming back again and crossing and changing in size and things like that. So I know in the past we've had a lot of help as far as kill shots that a lot of the psychics saw. I have some NASA footage that shows a ship the size of the Earth expand its fields and take the hit of what would be a kill shot. And that would throw us back into the dark ages if that happened. And so they have been intervening a lot on our behalf. I think, as anything, I think there's a combination of things happening here. And it's almost like going into 911. You know, were there planned charges? Was there thermite? Was there an energy weapon? And all the evidence shows like all the above, like almost everything happened there. And this is kind of one of those things. And even when you go into the UFO field, everybody goes, oh, it's nuts and bolts. You know, it's the Nazis. It's the secret space fleet. You know, it's time travelers. You know, it's interdimensional craft. It's interstellar craft. You know, it's like they're here to turn us into human pilaf. You know, they're here to help us go to the next level, you know. And so what would happen if all that was true? What if it was all going on? And we need to get out of these boxes and just quit trying to pigeonhole things into one thing. And there's a lot of research and other people, they pigeonholed it into this one story, and they want, and everybody else's story they dismiss. And they especially dismiss the contactees, especially a lot of the children that are having contact and their stories and things like that. The feminine energy, the higher consciousness, heart energy, that's been shoved out the side. And we have to bring all that back in to get the bigger picture, you know, is something we need to do. And hopefully we can start sharing all this information, because I've had some phenomenal benevolent contacts, beings that all the way up to the 13th dimension because of my own near-death experiences. But I've also had some other ones that didn't want that to happen, that tried to do all they could to stop me from having those experiences. So it's kind of like all of the above. And we have beings coming here from 2 million years in our future, Palladians, that are coming to help us out. And they're actually 2 million years in our future coming back to help. One of them by the name of Blaji comes in, and she's about 340 years in our time, years old, but she looks like she's 25, you know. I think some of these beings are actually immortal. I don't know. Some of them don't even die. So, you know, if you really want to get a history lesson, talk to one of them. You know, they've seen everything since this was a hot gaseous ball, you know, solidifying in a cradle orbit. But anyway, it looks like we got some other questions.
Hey, Walter. I just wanted to thank you guys for bringing this kind of information out, and you know, the information you just gave about the weather control system and all that. I mean, of course, they're going to use that to further their agenda. You know, the global warming, whatever. I mean, to me, I mean, being here, I've been staying at the ranch. I see a lot of different things go on, like. We had problems with our cell phones from that period on that you had said.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You know, they're just, it's seems to me they're like grasping at straws because it's their end days, throwing everything in.
Yeah.
You know, to end it. But I did want to thank you, Clyde, for bringing up the spiritual aspect of this all, because in my personal belief, in my experience, I think it's really important that we all, I mean, you know, we have powers as individuals. We have more power as a collective. If we all, you know, we can all, you know, we can change the grid by, you know, our actions and our thoughts, and, you know, our thoughts create.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, I don't think we talk enough about it, that, you know, the work comes from the inside, and, you know, we can bring it out and bring the love out and show it to the world. And we can change this thing. We don't have to go down like this. I know we're not going down.
Yeah.
It's just, it happened a little quicker. And I'm very optimistic for the future anyway. But I just want to thank you for bringing that spirituality thing out.
Right.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, the real problem here is Trump did everything. You know, Trump caused the whole solar system to move into a high energy space in space where all planets align and our atmospheric changes. So we just blame it on Trump. All right, who's next? All right, welcome to the show.
Can you talk about the world? On what you think the events is, people want to talk about the events and everybody has different ideas about what that might be.
Go ahead.
You mean the final blow event I talk about all the time?
Event, yeah.
The event?
Whatever you talk about, I love to move.
Well, I said it on the Alex Jones show when I appeared on Alex Jones a couple days ago. He asked me point blank. He goes, Clyde, what's the event? And it just stuck to me. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's a biological event. It's what we talked about when we talked about the Clade X exercise, the tabletop exercise. They're dealing in alien pathogens. Okay, they're taking alien pathogens. They're going to turn them on us. And this is why you're hearing about these airplanes where people are coming in sick. This is called a gain of function exercise. Okay. What a gain-of-function exercise is they actually unleash a disease on you, and it lasts for a little while, then it goes away, or they unleash a disease on you so they can monitor it in real time. Well, they did a tabletop exercise last May called Clade X. What Clade X was, Clade is actually a hybrid system coming from a main ancestor. It's the idea they're able to cross and multiply the cells, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell you that they're trying to make a hybrid form of cancer or a hybrid form of any disease. And when they did the Clade X exercise, they called it peri-influenza. But what it was is it was a case of Nipah, which is a very, very bad flu that causes encephalitis. So when I look around me and I see all these stories about planes coming in and monkeypox released in England and all this other stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if this year will be the year where they unleash some sort of an epidemic on us of something that has no cure and will have us all scared to death. And they do have a cure for it. That's the problem. They have a cure for it, but they know where they got it. They got it from space. They got it from out there. It's just population control. It's going after the ones that are not as healthy. It's not hospitalizing the ones that aren't as healthy. It's always been the agenda for some time, and this is the reptilian agenda, is what it is. It's the idea that the reptilian warlike haters of humanity want so badly for all of you just to perish, because they want all of the resources of the planet for themselves. We're not losing resources. In fact, we can gain resources. We have a complex system called planet Earth that constantly is changing and constantly renewing itself. Hell, if we didn't live in a complex system where a planet does not renew itself, then the St. Helens area would be destroyed and remain that way forever. It didn't. If you go there now, it's beautiful. If you go there now, plush with trees. It took 10 years to do it, 12 years to do it, but it was done. The Earth has a tendency to know how to replenish. The Earth has a tendency to know how to fix itself. And if we're going to be the disease that is going to be ruining Earth, Earth will find a way to fix itself. Mm-hmm. So we need to be good to the planet, and we don't need boogeymen out there telling us that we got to do it because of some technocrat telling you that you need to pay carbon tax. It's insane. You know, We know that there's climate change, but the kind of climate change they're pushing is technocratic climate change. Maybe someone ought to bring that up. Yeah. Say, yeah, I believe in climate change, but I don't believe in technocratic climate change, which basically thwarts the idea of geoengineering. Laying those chemtrails is what is changing our planet's climate. You know, war is claiming the ecosystem and causing it to fall apart. These are the things that are bringing down this planet. War and these experiments they're doing on all of us by laying the trails down. If they just leave well enough alone, the planet will fix itself. But they're so busy raping it of its resources, and then saying, oh, by the way, that's your problem. You know, and this is what you have to do. You have to pay your price for all your sins. No, we need to get them to pay the price for their sins. And that's the problem I'm seeing. Whenever I get in an argument with people about climate change, they say, why don't you believe in climate change? Oh, I do. I just don't believe in the Orwellian speak of climate change, where it's our fault that everything's going down and that we have to pay the price for it, when it's the big corporate masters that have been screwing with this planet the whole time. We know what it means not to crap in our own backyard. Maybe they need to learn it too.
All right. I agree. Good one. You know, I want to add something to that. What's happening right now, it just seems like people have a hard time understanding. I said there's so much inhumanity on the planet because there's so much non-human influence. And, you know, when you get to the deep state, the Illuminati and everything else, keep going up the ladder and you're going to start finding, you know, the fallen Anunnaki, reptilian, grays and beings that really don't have our highest and best interests. And we need to look above the mass, you know, tear the mass down and see who the real puppet masters are. And then we're going to figure this out. And we are undergoing what the Mayans call the ninth wave, which is unity consciousness. And it's a series of waves coming in that are exponentially getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the more benevolent entities are helping us to adjust to those energies. So there's two factions going on. One, it like goes back to ancient times when you had Enki and Enlil. You know, Enki was the creator god. He wanted us to excel and kept upgrading us and things like that. And you had Enlil that wanted us to just experiment to end and destroy it and get rid of the noisy humans. You know, so we almost have that same thing happening on a bigger scale right now. And we need to look at that and see, you know, who's who and who's really operating, you know, here. And we need to align ourselves with the benevolent side, universal law, and stop participating in the global elite and these other guys' agendas. And when we all just say enough, we're not going to go there anymore. You can take your frog skins and your paper and toss them in the trash. We're going to stick to what's real, you know, and what's of real value. And that's what's happening right now. We're going to go through a huge economic reevaluation. Everything is happening right now, and it's going in a good direction. But I really want to get to a point where we don't need money anymore. We have so many resources on this planet. And you know, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around the idea that if you had a car, people go, oh, I could get a car and I could get an electric engine in it and it won't pollute, you know? And then they go, well, the batteries are going to pollute. And you go, well, wait a second, we could hook a fuelless energy device in there and we can drive that car forever until the wheels fall off. And you go, well, you don't need wheels, you know? And you say, okay, you can hook an anti-gravity device in there. And then you go to the next level to counter-gravity, and you can go 7,000 miles an hour in an instant and with no G-force. So we got to start thinking outside the box. You know, if you have replicators, things like that, there's no lack. There's no more lack. You know, we got to think outside the box. And if you go back to just nature, one kernel of corn, put it in the ground, it's going to grow at least one stalk, maybe two ears of corn, sometimes one, sometimes two. There's 500 kernels. You take those 500 kernels and put them in the ground, and how many are you going to have? You know, 500 times 500. That's nature. And why are we starving?
Monsanto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we got to look at that. Why? We live in an abundant universe. Why are people starving? Why is there lack? And it's because of the controllers. And once we deal with that and remove them, which is being done right now, we're going to flourish. And a lot of the war and disease profiteers are going to be taken out. And they're not frequency specific to where the earth is going. So I'm all for that and rooting towards holding a frequency. But we can't ignore the obvious. We have to address these issues. We can't just ignore them and go into denial. Go ahead. We got another question back there.
Evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Quick question. What is your guys' take on Tom DeLonge and the Two Stars Academy? And then are you guys aware of anything new that may be happening about them? Like, a bunch of videos came out, I guess, a while back, and no one's heard anything since. And what's your guys' take on that? Thank you.
You want to go there? You want me to go there?
No, well, you go there because,
okay.
You know, quite frankly, I don't know. I stopped at the threat assessment, and that's as far as I went.
Yeah. You know, basically, here's the deal. They have a new face and same people. Same people behind the event. And so you look at these events coming up. They got a new face, you know, and then, but it's all the same people behind it. And it's called controlling the narrative. And it's never going to get off the ground until we take responsibility. It's like there's an old saying that, they talk about Mother Mary's channelings, and she goes that universal peace will never come through governments or religions. It's going to come through the hearts and minds of the people. It's the same thing with contact. It's going to come through the hearts and minds of the people. And as long as we keep, you know, waiting for this shiny new face and the government to disclose and all these other things, we're trapped in that circle. And we got to get out of that circle. I love what Peter says. If a bird lands in your front yard, why do you have to call up the government and say, is this a bird? You know, it's a bird, you know, just like we need to get over it and just, you know, take our power back and forget about it. I mean, 99% of the people in Texas believe UFOs are real and there's a government cover up. So it's a fail. The cover up's a fail. Why do we need to even go there anymore? Just forget about it. You know, it's like it's a fail. It's done. Cover up's over. You know, it's like
I think confirmation is more powerful than disclosure. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, like he says, why didn't you call your government and ask if it's a bird? I can tell you something. You realize that most movies that come out about aliens, did you know that they amount for about 60% of the overall high revenues in Hollywood? Do you realize besides sex, you know what the top most researched thing on Google is? UFOs.
Yep, so you have it.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
It tells you that we already know, okay? Exactly. It tells you that it's already confirmed. And they said back in December that they were spending, the Pentagon was spending money and they were doing this. You know, it wasn't for you. You know when they released that information saying that the Pentagon was investigating UFOs? That wasn't for you. You know what that was for? That was for that other 40% that don't care, that other 40% that haven't heard a damn thing about it or still have got their heads so far up their south end, they don't realize that it's already been confirmed. That's what that was for. That's what Tom DeLonge is for. Tom DeLonge and To the Stars is not for you, not for you, not for me, not for James, not for all of us that know. No, it's not for you. It's for those who haven't cared enough to think. The problem is, though, with all the confirmation happening, with the building blocks for life found out there on Mars, with all the other things like communications and fast radio bursts and all the other things we're hearing about outside the news, we still have our heads following Russian meddling.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that just so damn important?
You got to quit.
We're like quitting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've gone right up to the end of the hours. It was such an awesome interview. I can't thank Clyde Lewis enough for coming on the show. Let's give Clyde a big hand.
Thank you.
This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. You know, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and watch the skies. Your relatives are returning.
Thanks,